I'm going to say many things in my homily today. I want you to think of it like as an all-you-can-eat buffet or a smorgasbord. You can take what you want, you're going to like some of it, and you might not like all of it, but that's okay. I want to begin by going through our gospel passage really kind of quickly and making some sense maybe of some parts that may seem a little confusing. So there is a king, of course, this is God the Father. He's throwing a wedding banquet for his son. Who is his son marrying? Well, his son is Jesus, so who does Jesus marry? Jesus marries the... Raise your hand if you're a member of the church. Okay, so you're invited to the wedding. The question is, are we like the guests who are invited? Are we too busy with the world, with work? Or do we actually come to the wedding banquet? Well, you're clearly all here this morning, right? So thanks be to God. But then, as the story continues, we hear that some people at the wedding were not dressed in a wedding garment and they get kicked out where there's wailing and grinding of teeth. So at the wedding feast of the Lamb, in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, we clearly hear about the wedding feast of the Lamb, and the Lamb is Jesus. And everyone at the wedding feast is dressed in a white linen garment. Everyone at the wedding feast is dressed in a white linen garment. So when did you receive your wedding garment? On the day of your baptism, right? And in fact, if you don't know this, like we bring the child in a white garment already, but the church always gives you a free one because baptism doesn't cost you anything. It's a free gift of grace. That was the first time that you put on a wedding garment. The second time was most likely on the day that you made your first Holy Communion. You dressed in white, the day of your confirmation. In fact, every time we celebrate Holy Mass, servers, please stand. What color are my servers all wearing? Please be seated. I wear white every single day when I go to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I put on my white alb, which is my baptismal garment. Many of you ladies, on the day of your wedding, what color did you wear? And it's not because you were a virgin. Some of you weren't. You wore white because it is the wedding feast of the Lamb. And your husband is called to be an image of Jesus, and you are called to be an image of the church. That's why it's a sacrament. A sign or a symbol instituted by Christ that brings forth grace. A few days after you die, most likely 3 or 4 days after your death, you'll be brought to the back of this church. What color will we unfold upon your casket? And what do we call it? It's called a pall. That's why we have pallbearers. That white garment. Why? Because that is your wedding garment. So clearly enriched in our Catholic faith is dressing people up in white because we've been invited. We're the people that we've been drug in off the roads where all are invited. But the reality is that even though you might have a wedding garment, doesn't mean you're wearing it. What would your life look like if you wore a wedding garment all the time? How would I act if I was wearing my white alb all the time? But the reality is that's what we're supposed to do. So the person who's not wearing his wedding garment is actually, what's being said, it's a person who's not living virtue. He's not living charity. He's not living mercy. He's made a deliberate choice to persist in mortal sin. And thus he's kicked out of the feast. Every single one of us that is here today has been gifted with the grace of baptism. And in doing so, we have to constantly choose to put on the wedding banquet, to put on our wedding garment, so that we can participate fully in the wedding feast of the Lamb. We got to pray for that grace to live a life of virtue, a life of prayer, a life of devotion. That was number one. Okay, moving on to number two. Okay, a few weeks ago, actually on October 1st, it was the Feast of St. Therese, as I mentioned before Mass today, Carmelite religious sister St. Therese. Now we're celebrating today is also the 15th, the Feast of St. Teresa of Avila, these great Carmelite pillars at a church dedicated to a Carmelite saint. October 1st, some of you may have been here. I preached a homily about the rosary. And quick summary of the homily. The rosary is not about praying Hail Marys and Our Fathers. It's not about praying Hail Marys and Our Fathers. The rosary is about deep meditation on the 20 mysteries of Christ's life. The rosary is broken up into what we call mysteries, not like the Scooby-Doo mysteries or unsolved mysteries. Mysteries meaning that they are fountains that can never be emptied. They are sources that can never, ever, ever run dry. They are beyond our comprehension. We could spend our whole entire life just meditating on the mystery of the Annunciation, of the angel Gabriel coming to the Blessed Virgin Mary and a human being being impregnated by God. We could spend our entire lives meditating on that one mystery. But there's 20 of them. So the church gives us a time limit on each mystery to move to the next one. It's a prayer of meditation where we're supposed to delve deeply into these aspects of our Lord's life. Well, there's a young girl who is 12 years old that came to Mass here at St. Teresa on October the 1st. She then wrote me a letter. I have it right here. Now, people often write me letters about my homilies. They normally are not like this letter. This letter was handwritten, and after I read it, I called her parents and asked if I could read this letter out loud at all the Masses. I had to talk to the 12-year-old girl on the phone. And so I have to read this letter to you, because this letter will give you an example and a glimpse of what the rosary should and can be in your own life. So let's listen to a 12-year-old girl. Dear Father Meyer, I heard your homily at St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross on Sunday, October 1st. The highlight of your homily for me was using your imagination during the rosary. I tried it that night during our family rosary. So let's just part. Let's just stop right there, right? Because like the letter is already perfect right there. Let's just stop right there. What did her family do that night? They did what? What did her family do? They did what? They. Many of you were raised in a home where you prayed the rosary every single night. And then our culture stopped and said, no, watch television every single night. And we threw the rosary out of our homes and began watching 24-hour television. Maybe the only thing you'll take away from this is the fact that praying the rosary as a family with your wife, with your husband, with your grandchildren would be a grace, because it was for this girl. So she continues. I tried it that night during our family rosary. Then she says this. I made it. It happened. And it made me feel like this. It made me feel like I was supposed to. Peaceful. Amazing. Everything was so good. Now, what she, the rest of the letter is going to be her telling me what happened during each of the mysteries of the rosary. So she's literally just going to say, this is what was going on in my mind and my heart as I prayed the rosary with my family. So she says this, we were praying the glorious mysteries that night, the resurrection. I saw Jesus. He was walking towards me. Jesus hugged me and said, everything is good, and that he would heal me. The ascension. I was climbing a mountain with Jesus and some of his apostles, and I tripped. And as I fell, I cried out to our Lord, I'm sorry. And he caught me and then looked at me and said, I will always catch you if you fall. The Pentecost. I walked around a large room, and then I saw a woman. I went up to her, and I said, excuse me, ma'am, where am I? And she said, in the upper room. Wow, I said, you are so beautiful. Do you mind if I hug you? She hugged me in return, and as the decade ended, she just smiled at me. The Assumption. I saw that same woman in a town, and I walked up to her and I said, where are you going? I asked. To pray, she said. May I come with you? Yes, the Lord wants you to. We headed up the same hill as from the Ascension. She took me by the hand and helped me up the hill. I was not alone. At the top of the hill, we knelt down and prayed. And as the decade came to an end, an angel came and picked the woman up and took her to heaven. The coronation, the clouds that I was standing on were covered in rose petals, and I was dressed in a white dress and a veil, and I had a basket that was filled with the same petals. And there were more girls, and they were holding baskets as well. We were walking up an aisle, and at the end of the aisle were Mary and Jesus. They were seated. And then Jesus stood up and placed a crown on Mary's head. Then Mary turned to me, and she kissed me on each cheek. And then Jesus kissed me on my head and on my heart. Thank you for your homily, Father. Thank you for helping me pray. What is your experience of the rosary? Is it rattling off prayers, or is it entering into the mysteries of Jesus' life? Is it meditating upon scripture, or is it being bored? This little girl, I think, gives us an opportunity to reimagine what the rosary should be. Our Lady of Fatima, in 1917, asked that we pray the world, that we pray the rosary for peace. Our world was ravaged by the First World War, and she begged for people to pray the rosary for peace. Look at our world now. What does our world now, what does our world need right now? We need the rosary. Because the reality is that when we begin to meditate upon these mysteries, when we begin to bring these mysteries into our hearts, into our lives, it changes us. And the world changes through love. And the more and more that I have united my heart, that I have entered into these mysteries, that I have lived these mysteries, that I have tasted these mysteries, the more that I can live them, the more that I can live the cross and the crown of thorns, the more that I can live the agony in the garden, the more that I can live the suffering of Christ, the more that I'm able to live the resurrection and the joy that the Lord wants for me and for you. The rosary is a prayer of meditation and imagination that transforms us. I want to just give you another simple way to pray the rosary. There are 10 Hail Marys. Once you are very familiar with the mysteries, and I'll just use the Annunciation as an example. I think we're all very familiar with the story of the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel coming to the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mary saying to the angel, "Let it be done to me." And then God himself entering into the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and God becoming a man. That all happens in one mystery. So here's another way to pray the rosary, by the way. You can also turn the rosary really into intercessory prayer. So all of those Hail Marys, for example, I want you to think right now. So if we break that mystery down, what do we have? We have Mary saying yes. We have Mary surrendering her life. We have Mary becoming a servant. We have God entering into a human being. So then take everyone, all 10 of those Hail Marys. Who do you know in your life that needs to surrender to God? Who do you know in your life that's struggling to say yes? Who do you know in your life that has hard decisions to make? Who do you know in your life that needs to have God enter into their life? What grandson or granddaughter or son or daughter or husband or wife needs to have Jesus enter into them? And as you pray that decade, you apply that mystery to their lives. The rosary is endless in its ability to change us, to form us, and to mold us. And that's why the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem is asking us this upcoming Tuesday particularly to pray the rosary in union throughout the whole entire world for peace, particularly in Israel. I know many of you have been very disturbed because I've spoken to many of you about what is taking place in our world right now. And the reality is that hell is real. And hell is manifesting itself in ways that are now very visible. But the reality is, my brothers and sisters, is that the evil of our world is not just happening in Israel. Many people this past week have been shocked and horrified as they have heard and seen images of children who were slaughtered. What happens on Auburn Avenue in Cincinnati at Planned Parenthood every single day is the slaughter of children in a sterilized institution that we all think is fine in the United States of America as we have legalized it and said that it's okay. And Ohio is just about ready to make their constitution one of the most pro-death constitutions in the United States of America. And we all just, every single night, allow that to go by without losing sleep or watching 24-hour news media about the death of innocent children. Our world is filled with evil, but our world will change when individuals start living the mysteries of Christ's life. And it is only the mystery of Christ's life that can save our world at this time. I will tell you that we can send $6 billion to Israel, and it's not going to save Israel. The only thing that will save Israel right now is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That is the only hope that we have. Because the gospel message of Jesus Christ says that we pray for those who persecute us. We don't kill them. The gospel message of Jesus Christ says that we forgive those who hurt us, that we turn the other cheek. Those are messages that both Islam, Hamas, and that even our Jewish brothers don't believe. The gospel message of Jesus Christ that we have to bring to the world. And that's why we need to put on our wedding garments every day. The evil that's happening right now in our world has to be a reminder to us that we need to return to what is true and good, which is love, which is mercy, which is compassion. And we need to stand in our wedding garments with our rosary in hand, which is the greatest weapon of our time. Because it is the weapon of peace, because it is the message of Jesus, it is the entire gospel and life of Jesus, and that is what will save us. The message of Jesus and nothing else. And so my dear brothers and sisters, I beg of you to return to the beads. I beg of you as a family, as a married couple, to return to the rosary, to enter in deeply to the mysteries of Christ's life and to apply them to your life and to the lives of those that you love, because our world needs peace. Our world needs the gospel. Our world needs the gentleness and the care of a loving mother. So I beg of you to put on your wedding garment, to live a life of virtue and compassion and mercy and love, and to allow the hand of Our Lady to lead your hand through the beads that have been given to us. And in doing so, may there be peace on earth. May there be peace in our world. May the love of Jesus be known. Amen.